have more drawings than fit on your parents' fridge? In lectures, does note-taking sometimes distract you from your doodling? We know how you feel. VASA, the Visual Arts Students Association, is here for you. You can submit your masterpiece for our upcoming show, attend a talk, behind-the-scenes museum tour, or workshop about developing your professional practice, or even just come hang out. Check out our events on facebook.com/vasa.ubc or even our Instagram and Twitter, and join in for our weekly drawing challenge.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 7th of September, 2018, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oaksen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, the 2018 Vancouver Fringe Festival is off and running, and tonight was opening night. Today we wrap up our Fringe preview with guests from shows like Dear Elizabeth, Travel Theatrics, Spinning You Home, and Big Sister. It's Fringe-alicious, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And we're going to get things started right away. We have the Brain Trust, the creative team behind Big Sister, on at the review stage. Please introduce yourselves.
Hello, my name is Deborah, and I'm the writer of Big Sister and Little Sister.
I'm Naomi. I am the performer in Big Sister and the bigger
and
sister.
And the big sister. So you opened last night. Mm-hmm. To a practically full house.
Yeah, we had a great turnout.
Mostly friends and family from what you were saying.
Yeah, very supportive, warm audience, yes.
I saw the show, and as I said, I have a lot of questions. This is something I wasn't expecting. It's a one-person show, and usually, typically, a one-person show at the Fringe it's very personal and very intimate and very revealing.
Yes, yes.
But it's usually... the person on stage reading a script that they wrote. Whereas in this case, Naomi, you're reading the script that Deborah wrote telling your story.
Yeah.
So whose crazy idea was that?
Well, it was Deborah's idea initially.
Originally, yeah. I went to Edinburgh last year for the Fringe, and I saw a lot of these beautiful personal stories that you talk about. And I thought, I would love to do something like this, but I'm not a performer. I'm so shy. So I thought, how could I do this? And I conveniently have a performer sister and asked her if she wanted to collaborate on something. We didn't know what, but something.
Right. And so Deborah, in this play, is telling the story of my 75-pound weight loss.
Yeah.
And so that the whole development process has been very interesting because it is, as you say, a very personal story that I've had to hand over the reins to my little sister. And so as you see in the show, inevitably I have to correct her when she screws up the details of my story.
Yeah, that was this wonderful part. You're still you have the script in hand because I think you said something about how Deborah, you were still making new pages on the day of.
It's been last minute.
Yeah. And is that going to continue through the run or is...
Yeah, the conceit of the show is that it's in development. But that's also a metaphor for how our evolving relationship as sisters, like this conversation is still happening. And we're learning more about each other every night. Yeah. So, so some of that is a sort of theatrical conceit rather than real, but it's useful for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and very entertaining for the audience. They were right in there with it. So tell us a little bit about yourselves. Naomi, first, you graduated from theater school at UBC.
I did. Yeah, I did the BFA training program in acting here a few years ago. And since then, I've worked in theater in many capacities, both in Vancouver and in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Deborah, what's your story?
I also went to UBC. I did the BFA in creative writing here. Mm-hmm. Right after I finished that, I wrote the book for a musical called Carry On, which was at the Fringe 2 years ago, produced by Awkward Stage. And after that, I moved to London, where I've been living the last year and a half. So Naomi and I actually collaborated online. I was living in London while she was in Vancouver while we wrote the show.
This working on the show here, like we haven't actually seen each other
until about
months.
A week ago.
Yeah, a week ago.
Yeah,
the first time we saw each other.
I'm going back to London right after the Fringe closes.
Uh-huh.
Also, we apologize to listeners because we know our voices are exactly the same, so this must be very confusing for everybody.
But as Naomi makes fun of in the show, my voice I think is much deeper.
There's a noticeable difference. I wouldn't say much deeper, but you can tell the difference. and you both grew up in Vancouver.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vancouver. It's born and raised.
Yeah. Talk about camp experiences.
Yeah, the local Vancouver Jewish community thing. Yes, I identify as the more Semitic of the two of us. Weirdly.
Yeah, because I never went to camp. Well, I did. I went to Camp Narnia,
which is a Christian camp.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes. Very confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know at one point you referred to your mother as a Jewish hippie teenager in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a predominantly Jewish high school in the 70s. Really? So I may have gone to school with your mom.
Oh, really? Did you go? Where did you go?
Eric Amber.
Oh, no. She went to Point Grey. But you may
have
run in the same circle.
Yeah, sure, you have mutual friends.
Very possible. Yes. Very possible. So you're playing at the review stage.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's they got off to a great start, so
we're really excited. So we should, if you have a sibling or if you have had a weight loss experience, the show will definitely be of interest to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Deborah, do you wanna? We have. I don't know if you have time for this, Dave, but Deborah has the letter that she wrote to me when I was away at summer camp.
Oh yeah,
this is just a little preview of the kind of evil sibling that I was to Naomi.
Deborah's the little sister, to clarify.
So I wrote this letter to my sister when I was about 8, I think, and you would have been about 10.
10 years old, yeah.
And she was away at Jewish summer camp. It feels weird for me to be saying this now.
I know, I love it.
Dear Naomi, I bet you're surprised about the big change. I've moved into your room because you're not living here anymore. Hope you got in trouble with your counselor. I bet you made no friends. Velma's taking me to Disneyland. We thought we'd wait for you. But then we thought, nah. We were taking care of Jenny, and she peed all over your stamp collection. Sorry. I said, bad dog, and then said, maybe not. From Deb. P.S. Thanks for the CD and CD players.
Yeah, so that's why it's been difficult for...
Yeah, this is the writer that you trusted to tell your story.
I know. I'm so foolish that I let her tell my story,
Although I'm pretty foolish to let you manipulate my script.
That's
so
true.
We're both pretty vulnerable in this situation.
Yeah, but you're sitting in the audience.
I'm the one on stage.
Well, thank you both for coming in. This was a terrific experience, and I hope everyone gets a chance to see it because it's... it's sure to be a hit of the fringe. So.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
And I share your enthusiasm for Portuguese bread.
Oh, good. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, wine. Yeah.
I was in the Algarve about 30 years ago, and any chance we got. More bread.
Yes, please. Always more bread.
All right. So also happening on site on Granville Island, there's a lot of music going on. The Fringe Club has a lot of local performers performing. And one of the groups that's playing tonight is Frankie. So Frankie is going to be on stage at the Fringe Club tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. So you don't want to miss that. And right now, sitting across from me is the lovely and talented Alexis Kellum-Creer. Hello, Alexis.
Hello, Dave.
And you're doing a show called Dear Elizabeth.
Yes.
So tell us all about Dear Elizabeth. It's by Sarah Rule. It is a big deal.
Sarah Rule. Yeah. She's a tremendously awesome playwright.
Mm-hmm.
The hook is for Sarah Rule. I guess she had been laid up in the hospital, and a friend of hers dropped off a volume of the collected letters of Elizabeth Bishop and Robert Lowell. Mm-hmm. And said, I think you would find this interesting. Sarah became obsessed with it. And her project became to extract bits of the letters and to sort of build these into a narrative structure that describes the relationship between these two celebrated poets, mm-hmm. Bishop and Lowell. Over the course of about 30 years, they corresponded from the late 40s to the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. Now, were they married? Were they?
They were never married uh-huh. to one another. So, through reading their correspondences, it's you get beautiful glimpses into their lives, their respective relationships, and the tumult that attends any artist trying to maintain a steady relationship.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of art, their feelings for one another were very, very deep. Elizabeth Bishop's preference was not towards men.
Mm-hmm.
So there were differing shades to their relationship as things progressed and as they became single or were going through relationships. But through it all, they sustained such a deep love and an ability to be very frank with one another, both about their personal lives
yeah.
and in particular about their poetry, which is such a rare thing for artists to be able to communicate with one another to that degree of frankness and be able to accept what a trusted colleague says,
mm-hmm.
incorporate it into your work.
Yeah.
And it's because of that base of mutual respect and trust that they had for one another that they were able to do that. And it helped buttress their own confidence, but also to propel them to try new things and to challenge the work that they had done previously in new ways. And it's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Like just the very nature of that kind of nurturing, supportive relationship that
yes.
that they're each going through their own lives, but they have each other to help and guide and support and
exactly
and just
so.
Be there for each other throughout that long time.
Yes, and yeah. they were so rarely, in fact, on the same continent.
Yeah,
you could count on both hands the number of times that they physically got to see one another.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, as you say, there's always someone on the other side of that yeah. rope, the other side of that, to tether you somehow to whatever you're going through and be like, okay, everything else is dissolving around me, but you're here.
Yeah.
And I'm still with you and I believe in you and talk to me. There's so many moments in it when one or the other will just say, just send me a letter. Just send me something. I need you right now. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous thing.
That's beautiful. So you're playing Elizabeth.
I'm playing Elizabeth
yeah.
Bishop.
Yeah. So how did you prepare for that?
So the director, Shelby Bushell.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Shelby took myself and Anthony Santiago, who's playing Robert Lowell,
mm-hmm.
through a gloriously extensive research process.
Mm-hmm.
So before we started rehearsing, we went through the volume of their collected correspondence, which is some 400 and some letters.
Wow.
Not to say that we read every one, but we went pretty in depth. We would start rehearsals with myself and Anthony bringing a poem of one of the poets with us that we had loved, that had moved us, and we sort of shared that. So we started from a place of a really deep appreciation of their work and then deepened that as we sort of started to learn more about their lives and the ways in which they affected one another. So that was just an amazing process. And I feel really enriched both by learning more about their work and by having sort of this example of what a friendship can be,
yeah.
what it can withstand, and what beautiful discoveries it can lead us to.
We're sort of I'm sort of accidentally latched onto a theme because we talked about Big Sister, which has a lot about letters between the two sisters and correspondence
yes.
and that.
and now this play, we'll see what else comes up for the rest of the hour. It sounds like one of those plays where you really have to inhabit the character of the person that you're portraying. This isn't just you reciting lines. You really have to get a solid understanding of who she is and who he is to really honor the story you're telling.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And again, it was the biographical research that we did at the beginning that really helped us get, I mean, physically we differ tremendously from the people that Anthony and I are representing. But in terms of the mindset and the understanding psychologically and of the emotional inner lives of these people, that was the joy to really experience. And it's that I hope we can bring to the show.
All right. You open tonight?
We open tonight at 7:50.
I'll be there.
Okay, wonderful.
Your producer, Jada, she made sure that I had a ticket for tonight. So
fantastic. Yeah, we're at the Culture Lab. Yep, we're part of the Dramatic Works series there. Some tremendous works going on there. So.
Yeah, I think I've got five of the six of those shows have been here already. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it's like one of the highlights. It's the East Side Fringe has sort of created a community of its own.
Yes. Yeah. The East Hub.
Yeah, with the Culch and the Culture Lab and the Havana.
And the Havana East,
and a few other scattered venues around there.
It's another rich vein to the Culch.
Yeah, I did a show at the Culch Historic last year for the Fringe, and it was, I never got near Granville Island. I spent all my time.
You can. Yeah. Once you start exploring around there, it's tremendous how much is going on.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, have a wonderful run. Have a great Fringe.
Thank you so much.
And once again, it's Dear Elizabeth. It's part of the Dramatic Works series at the Culch Lab and opens tonight at 7:50 with five more shows after that. Alexis Kellum-Creer, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Dave. Happy Fringing.
Happy Fringing. Okay, let's play some more music. The Sumner Brothers, The Toughest Man in Prison. They're going to be on tomorrow night. So that's the Sumner Brothers, and they are going to be at Fringe Club. Where are they? Tonight? No, it's not tonight. It's Sunday night. That's it. 9 o'clock at the Fringe Club. It's Kira Barnes.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Mm-hmm. So your show is called Travel Theatrics.
Yes, it is.
And you wrote it and performed it. So
yes. This
is you're all in one package. So far, we've been dealing with actors reading other people's work and that
right.
kind of thing. So right now, we have a writer-performer in front of us. So tell us about Travel Theatrics.
Yeah, so Travel Theatrics is my solo storytelling show mm-hmm. in which I enact six of my travel experiences with 15 characters and three animals, tales of adventure, romance across the globe.
Uh-huh.
Based on my real-life experiences.
So what provoked you to turn that into a Fringe show?
Ultimately, theater, oddly. Well, the title kind of gives that away, but these travels date back to from when I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, each story brought me on this journey to rediscovering my passion for theater. And I now work as an actor and a writer. Mm-hmm. And these stories have just kind of been burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah.
And there was some lovely interconnectedness between the pieces and moments of connection that have helped to sort of shape my person and perspective to what it is now. And I felt that they were stories that people could relate to that I wanted to share.
So what is your theater background? Where did that start?
Yeah, well, I discovered theater when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And fell in love with it when I was 15. Up until that point, I'd just been doing sports. Auditioned for a community theater show and got in and kind of never looked back. And
what
then
was
I,
the show?
It was Dick Whittington and his cat.
Oh, really? Panto?
Panto.
Yeah.
That was my acting debut in the world. I played a rat.
It was there
quite
you go.
Glam.
Yeah.
Yep. So then I just continued to take acting classes in high school.
Yeah.
And then I decided I wanted to pursue that, so I got my BFA in theater from UVic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I actually moved to Ireland, and I worked in theater there for 3.5 years,
yeah.
and continued to just study and train and work in a couple other different places, and came back to Vancouver 2015.
So what were the sort of theatrical elements that you found in your travels that put all this together?
I don't know if there was theatrical elements. When I'm thinking about the stories, none of them sort of take place in a theater or anything.
No.
But the play is
the
very
world
theatrical.
Is a stage.
The world is a stage. But how the play is structured is that it is a storytelling theatrical show. So
mm-hmm.
I begin to sort of narrate each story. And then as I get into the depth of each story, actually act it out with all the different characters. So it's kind of a blend of genres in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are some of the stories you're telling? Let's sort of get into some meaty details.
Well, there is a ghost story
mm-hmm.
that takes place in two different countries, Canada being one of them, Australia being the other. There is my experience in Oktoberfest in Germany and how things go awry there.
Uh-huh.
There is the time I was chased through a jungle in Malaysia by an unknown entity. There was a time I was nearly taken in Morocco.
This isn't the same ghost that chased you to Australia.
Well, you got to see the show to find out, right?
Well, there's got to be a connecting thread,
actually. Yeah, so yeah. I'm not going to tell you anywhere. That's four of the stories.
That's good enough. And
yeah.
you have traveled with the show, too.
I just debuted the show in Winnipeg.
Uh-huh.
So that's where it received its world debut. And now it's getting its debut in Vancouver.
Yeah, wonderful.
So I'm thrilled to do it in my community.
Yeah. And you've been directed by the great Melissa Wee.
Oh, what a dream, right?
Yeah.
I'm so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. She's incredible.
Yeah. So how was she able to help you through it?
So, in every single way possible.
Yeah.
So I had her in mind from the start. Not only are we good friends, she also has recently gotten involved in the storytelling community. So she had that background. Also, she's a very professional, established theater artist. So there was that background. Additionally, she loves to travel. And it just, everything about it fit. And then it meant I got to see her numerous times a week. And she's kind of a newer director. And she's just got an amazing vision of how things should be, and she helped almost as much as a dramaturg as she did as a director, helping me with the script, giving her feedback, just constantly encouraging and patient with me and understanding, and it was just an absolute dream. So
I think that's one thing that people that don't work in the theater may not always realize, that even when it is a one-person show written and performed by the same person, you're not doing it by yourself.
Oh, no.
You have a lot of help to get it up there.
Yeah, I also have an amazing sound designer.
Yeah.
So CJ came on board. I asked her for maybe, I don't know, 6 sound cues. Mm-hmm. 50 cues later, we're rocking.
Yeah.
She's
going through the script and says, you know what you need here?
Exactly. Yeah. She just brought the show to another level with the sound design. And I'm just so grateful for her to have these two amazing, talented women by my side. Mm-hmm. It was just
terrific.
Yeah, wonderful.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you have a great run. You're playing at the Havana.
At the Havana. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so opened the show last night at 6 o'clock. My next show is Saturday at 2:55.
It's Travel Theatrics, and it's part of BYOV, so it's sort of in the back page of the Fringe program, but it's easy to find. Just look for the backpack with all the maps and flags and stuff on it. Kira, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Dave.
We're going to play one more tune, and this is Kim Ortel, and she's going to be down at the Fringe Club as well on Thursday.
That you speak to me in a different language. Heaven on earth is broken. I want to give birth to words unspoken, but I'm choking. Everybody trying to be seen on screen, force feed me a scene. I'm just trying to intervene. Too deep for the mainstream, too street for IV leads. University is robbing money, still buying coffee, no cream, telling him and my color of melanin. Got soul, but not a whole lot of green. Too few stop to think, they're busy building the machines. Accumulate the sense, common sense to me, to pen these rhyme lightly. ZZZ up. I'm tired of the same old shit. Cookie cut that itch, copy paste generic. Locate my remix. In my wordplay twist, turn the page, study my resist.
Rushing by head and shoulder, I hope I'm getting bolder. But as I'm brushing by head and shoulder, I hope I'm getting bolder.
Call a girl a bitch loud, I'm so rude. In a man's world, working harder than the dude. Do your mathematics, stats on the masses. She can't claim on her taxes. My broke back is collapsing from kissing ass too fast while the time is ticking. Murdered and missing, too many women, too many queens dead on the scene. Never forgotten, forever missed. I remember you on my canvas. Paint your crown, miss loud and proud, misunderstood. With this world flipped attitudes, didn't exclude more gratitude. Indigenous lives misconstrued the truth. I used to pray to a white god, now I head nod church in the booth. Cause God isn't no limit, she's in his Adidas, dancing nowhere and in between us. Synonymous to androgynous, you a Nazi. Why do we divide and conquer? Why do we divide and conquer? Never finish, like I'm only up for glimpses. Pressing on the surface, if I'm worth it, don't mean I'm perfect. I'm pushing on a limit, I ain't trying to stay in it. They say you're ungrateful, you think too far ahead. Don't you see what's right in front of you? Use your head. I use my heart instead. I never traded for a ticket to your walking dead. I drop my heart in every crack, watch it overflow. Blood, sweat, tears on my mic at the show. Could drown any motherfucker in my ill flow. They'll just say I'm really good for a girl, though. No place in the books written. Out of histories, overlooked for cooks, so I keep spitting. For all the aliens, I rise above the clones. It's a time to feel alone, but the stage is my home.
Rushing by heaven's shoulder. I hope I'm getting bolder. But as I'm rushing by.
That's Kim Ortel, and she's going to be at the Fringe Club on Granville Island on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Don't want to miss that. So now, sitting across from us, we've been sort of going through a revolving door of Fringe artists. We have one of Vancouver's most prolific playwrights, Sally Stubbs. Hi, Sally.
Hi. Thanks for having me here.
Well, thanks for coming in, finally. I've been wanting to have you on here for years. And it's never connected. So here we are. You're the writer of Spinning You Home, And you have this isn't your first Fringe play. You've done lots.
I've done a number of Fringe plays. Yeah.
What numbers?
Oh, jeez, like I don't know. It goes back where I was acting and then directing and acting, and then I was writing more, and so some of my own plays have been up, and mm-hmm. some of other people's plays too. Yeah.
And your last one was and Bella sang with us the play about the women of the Vancouver Police Force.
Right, the very first ones in Canada.
Two years ago, yeah. And so now this time around, Spinning You Home, it's kind of a ghost story.
It is kind of a ghost story.
That's why I say kind of. It's
It is. It's kind of because it's kind of. But it's a story that I was asked to write this by my sister-in-law. It's inspired by the true story of John Caribou Cameron, who was the richest gold miner in the Caribou gold mining times, and an amazing promise he made to his wife, younger wife, who was known as the Beauty of Barkerville, and who was also the first woman, apparently, to have her mining ticket. And she was on her deathbed, and she made this she demanded that he honor this promise, and he did. I was there with this story that is huge, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to go into too many of the details other than to say that that body took a long, long journey, and some really amazing things, crazy things happened. And
what was the promise?
The promise was that he would take her. He had to promise that when she died, he would get her out of there. She hated it there.
In the Caribou.
In the Caribou, yeah. The mountains sort of looming in on her, leaning in, and she felt like she was suffocating. And she had lost a child, and then another child, and she too died. And there was at that point, they hadn't made a cent, and she'd sort of gone up there in this wild, promise of riches and these dreams of gold. And the curious thing is that soon after she died, he hit the jackpot.
He struck it rich.
Yeah. But so he did. He eventually got her back to Glengarry County in Ontario. But the story of how he did that is astonishing. And this story is told. I thought, how do I tell this massive story that I want to tell for the stage?
Mm-hmm.
And really, it should be a film or it should be a novel, I think. But I wanted to write for the stage, so I ended up doing it as a two-hander, and it's a young girl and her grandfather who was is based on my partner's grandfather, because my partner is related to, John Caribou Cameron and Sophia Cameron were his ancestors, and so it was his sister-in-law, my sister-in-law that asked me to write this. And so she had an amazing relationship with her grandfather, who was quite the character, liked his overproof rum and told stories, and also felt he had a bit of a bee in his bonnet about Caribou's partner, Robert Stevenson, who is the one who told all the stories about this. We would know nothing about this if it hadn't been for Robert Stevenson and Duncan Cameron. But he firmly believed that Robert Stevenson didn't do half the things that he said he did,
mm-hmm.
and that it was Caribou Cameron who should have got all the credit for everything. And I'm not sure that any of that's true. So.
No. But
he had a thing going on.
Why let the truth get in the way of a good story?
Yeah, no. And so it's a story that basically it explores this wonderful promise, this astonishing promise, and it looks at... it celebrates love that transcends and promises that basically transcend life itself, and the art of storytelling, the power mm-hmm. of storytelling.
Yeah, I want to get back to something that you had said about how your challenge was to get this story that should have been a novel or a film or something big and epic, and get it onto the stage. How did you solve that?
By making it a story that. A two-hander, she's 12 when it's, she's 13 when she's telling the story, and her grandfather, and that they have this a very complicated relationship, but she adores him.
Yeah.
And they end up trapped during a storm in the cabin on Salt Spring Island, based on, again, the real Duncan Cameron.
Right.
She wants him to complete this story that he started telling to her before. And so they are telling the story. They're bringing it to life. They basically live the story. They go through it together. And for me, this became really meaningful because I write because of my grandfather, who, this man is also very much based on, an eccentric, cranky, wonderful human being, and who made me want to tell stories.
Yeah.
So that's how I did it.
Played by the eccentric, cranky, wonderful Simon Webb.
Yeah, he really is all of those things. He's truly wonderful. He's a very talented man, and very fortunate to be working with him.
And who's the other actor?
Sarah Roa, a beautiful young actor who came out of the UBC program here and has done quite a lot of work. And she was in Ambella Sang with us, as was Simon. So at that time they played, he played many men, but in one of the men was having a relationship with a young girl working in a saloon who was meant to be 14, and she was playing that character. Mm-hmm. So they're quite a different relationship they have. He gets to be your grandpa now.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, so you're playing at Carousel Theater.
We are.
Yeah, and opens tonight, I think.
It does.
Yeah.
We're sold out, I think, for tonight.
Wonderful.
I know. I'm kind of humming on that one.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that the buzz
continues. It's a great way to start. Full house.
Yeah, if I could, there's a couple of things I'd love to say.
Yeah.
It's been quite a difficult year for me, so I had to step back from directing. So Sarah Rogers came in and sort of has guided this little piece and brought her magic to it. And we have a young man named Evan Rain on the stage who's created original music, and he's playing it and making sound on the stage, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Wonderful.
So it's a magical piece.
Yeah. Spinning You Home.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally Stubbs. We are going to play one more tune for you. This is another artist who's going to be on stage at the Fringe Club. And what date is he going to be here? I'll find out. His name is called Michael and the Slumberland Band. And they're playing Saturday night at the Fringe Club.
Come with me. The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire, Cheetos, fleece material, and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a clothes.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
People are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
Every Vancouverite has their own story.
The perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office. The newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. The Cold Reading Series is back on Monday night. It's a great chance to connect with your fellow creatives, enjoy a cool beverage, take in a great show, and get your cold read on. If you're an actor, come prepared to give a quick elevator pitch of your cold reading experience and a short list of characters that you would like to be cast for or what kind of characters you can play. They're always looking for a wide variety of backgrounds, ethnicities, ages, genders, and non-genders. And if you don't want to read but just want a fun night of entertainment, come on down anyway and just see what it's like. Bring your friends, grab a seat, grab a drink, and enjoy. It happens on Monday night at the VFS Vancouver Film School Cafe, which is at 390 West Hastings at Hastings and Hamilton, right next to Victory Square. Entry is by donation. $5 is the usual suggested donation, and a portion of beverage sales go towards the Keith Provost Award, which is a cash award that they give every year to a worthy person. Casting starts at 6:30. Show begins at 8 o'clock. If you want to find out more, you can check out Cold Reading Series website or on their Facebook page. Give you all the details on the scripts that they'll be reading on Monday night. And submissions are still open but closed tomorrow for Shindig 2018. Vie for a chance to play at CITR Discorder's annual Battle of the Bands. We don't care what genre, shtick, vibe, or other experience level you have. If you make music, we want to hear it. So tomorrow's your deadline. Send your demos and original material to shindig.submissions@gmail.com, or you can find out details at CITR.ca. If you are a sound designer or composer, Classic Chic Productions is looking for you. They're doing Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing at the Kulch in February, and they're looking for somebody who is creative and comfortable with the creative process involving sound and music editing, recording with sampled or live instruments, and composing as needed, including supporting the songs embedded within the text. As the tech period is short, excellent communication, organization, and efficient programming skills are required. Due to budgetary restrictions at this time, only accepting applications from artists who are local to the Vancouver area. It's a paid contract. A fee will be negotiated based on your experience, expectations, and skill set. Rehearsals start in December and run through February 2nd. The tech period is in February 3rd to 5th, and the opening night of the show is February 5th, 2019. And in keeping with Classic Chic's mandate to provide opportunities to female-identifying theater artists, preference will be given to female and female-identifying applicants, though we welcome submissions from any interested artists. So you know I'm going to be sending my name in for that. Check out Classic Chic, that's CLASSICCHIC.ca, to find out more about that. And let's see, there's a couple of job openings. There's one at the Caravan Farm Theater in Armstrong, looking for an administrator. Go to caravanfarmtheater.com for more information about that. And a couple of auditions to let you know about. United Players of Vancouver is doing The Supplicant Women by Aeschylus, the classic Greek play directed by classic Canadian director Adam Henderson. That's going to be at the Jericho Arts Centre in November. The auditions are on Sunday, September 9th, at the Jericho Arts Centre, which is at the foot of Discovery. You need to book an appointment to get book a time for your audition, so phone United Players, and their number is 604-224-8007, and leave a message with your phone number. And let's see, we're going to skip. One more to let you know about, and that is Theater in the Country in Langley doing Two from Galilee. Their auditions are happening tomorrow and Sunday at Theater in the Country in Langley. And the North Van Community Players are doing Treasure Island, and that's going to be happening at Hendry Hall in December. It's a family fun Christmas show written and directed by Peter Zednik, and the auditions are happening on September 9th and 10th. And if you want details on these or any other audition notices, you go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you can share it with us at the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email us, DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. And that's our show. There we go. Where am I? I forgot to turn the mic on and started talking, and now I've lost my place on the script. And there it is. Let's start again. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. Like us on Facebook. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at CITR.DaveRadio. If you missed any or all of today's show, or you want to relive glorious moments from the past, you can check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And stick around, because Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy, followed by Bepi Crespin presents at 2, and Nardwar the Human Serviette presents at 3:30. Dave Radio will return next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
forgot the surfboards? How are we going to shred the gnarly waves now?
Well, I got just the replacement. I picked up some copies of Discorder instead.
Well, it looks like this surf day just got a whole lot better.
This extra special summer issue of Discorder features interviews with local punk rockers Lié, queer Métis fashion designer Evan Ducharme, and the hosts of CITR's Radio Pizza Party. There will also be an exclusive Bartholomew comic strip, short fiction by Mac Gordon, and a suggested summer reading list compiled by the staff of Massey Books. And of course, there will be reviews of the Music Waste and Sled Island Music Festivals, as well as podcasts, films, and more. Thank you to our advertisers Blueprint, Timber Concerts, The Cinematheque, Rickshaw Theatre, Mint Records, Hexistential Festival, Current Symposium, Audiopile, and An Evening in Damascus.
The Leo Ramirez Show at CITR, Mondays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. El show de Leo Ramírez en CITR, lunes de 5 a 6 de la tarde.